Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 225225. And if you're listening to this in real time, it's the very first episode of a new decade, January 2020. So for those of you that are listening in real time, it's early January, very early January, 2nd or 3rd of January. So happy new year. Happy new decade. I hope you've had a fabulous holiday in whichever way you celebrate it. Christmas, New Year, the whole thing. And I'm sure that you've got lots of ideas about what you want to do going forward into a new year and a new decade. Or maybe you're still kind of on holiday and just enjoying the listen. As you know, we have a guest on The Dream Show, as we do today. Our guest today is Shannon from California. And as you know, if you've been listening to The Dream Show for quite a while, I never know what dream the person is going to present until we hit the record button. So we arrange, you know, you put your hand up, you contact me. I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. You contact me and say, I'd love to be a guest on The Dream Show. We work it all out. When's the best day? When's the best time? What's your Skype or your phone number? We sort it all out. And then it's only when we press play that I hear the dream for the first time. Because you, the listeners, tell me that that's how you enjoy it. You enjoy hearing me hear the dream for the first time and learning how to approach a dream from there. So we've just done that with Shannon, and I'm here adding the beginning onto the show. And I have to say that it turns out to be a really, not only an excellent dream, they're all excellent dreams. Our guests bring us wonderful dreams, and it's always exciting to interpret them and see how they relate to waking life. But it also turns out, I guess in many ways, to be a really suitable dream for the beginning of a new year, the beginning of a new decade, the beginning of a new life. So I hope that you enjoy it, and I'm sure that you will. Just before we go there, the website addresses and everything. So my website address is janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And my other website, which is the learning platform where you can go to learn about how to interpret your dreams, how to do dream alchemy, and how to become a professional dream therapist. They're all at the Dream Academy. And the website for that is dream-academy-online.com. Or you can get there from janeteresa.com. You can listen to every episode of The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson that's ever been at janeteresa.com. Or you can listen to the most recent ones on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts, or find me on social media, Facebook, and perhaps predominantly Instagram. So here we go with Shannon. Welcome to The Dream Show, Shannon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And you're from California.
I am. Yep.
And have
California,
you
born and raised?
Born and raised. Well, a person that stays in one place, that's quite unusual these days. So you've got a dream for us. As usual, I have no idea what your dream is. So take the floor, Shannon.
All right. So I had a dream that I've had different versions of a few times consecutively within the last month. The location changes slightly, and it feels like the duration of my dream changes slightly, but I keep having this reoccurring situation where I'm not in real life. I'm not a mother, nor am I pregnant or close to getting pregnant. But I have had this dream multiple times where I'm holding and have this baby, and the baby's been in the form of like a human, like a little, like almost newborn baby. But then it's also been in the form of a cat in the past. And then so a baby formed twice and then a cat once. And just within the dream, in all scenarios, I am so attached to the baby, and I just have so much, like such a strong connection with it, even though in my dream, I realize that it's not mine and I don't want it to be, but it's like, I'm just clinging and I do not want to let go of the baby. And then I'll wake up with just like this feeling of like confusion around it, because it's such an emotional bond with this in my dream that I just wake up being like, God, like, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, like, it just, the cat versus the human, and then just that feeling of like so strongly connected to it in my dream and just not wanting to let it go. And I have like psychoanalysis of it for myself, which I'm like, well, maybe it means this, this, and this, but I'm just so curious to hear from, yeah, the expert's perspective.
Of course, Shannon, it's a pleasure. So you got that sense, as you say in the dream, where you know it's not mine, but you also said, I don't want it to be mine. And yet I'm clinging to it and I don't want to let it go. So did you feel a sort of dilemma in the dream that I don't want it to be mine, but I do want it, but I do, but I don't, but I do what I don't? Or why were you clinging to it in the dream?
Yeah, and maybe that's why I wake up too with confusion around it, because in the dream I'm so emotionally bonded to it and I feel so strongly towards it, but I know that it's not mine, and it's not a feeling of like, I want this. It's just like I already feel that pull and connection. It's not necessarily like a yearning for it, but it's just a deep sense of like nurturing towards it already exists.
So you have a deep sense of nurturing towards it. And when we nurture something, we're usually nurturing it in order to bring it up to a certain level of growth so that we can let it go out into the world in its own way. But in the dream, did you get the sense that that you were holding on to it because it wasn't yet fully grown? Or did you get the sense that you were probably going to have to let it go while it was still a baby or while it was still a cat?
You know, it's interesting. Like, I think about the emotions from it, and I can still feel very strongly. It's like I'm getting something from holding it. Like, that feeling of it is almost like nurturing to me too. So it's like just that emotional connectedness. While I'm holding it, but regardless of if it was the baby form or the cat, but it's almost like it just feels so good to like hold it and like care for it. It's just like a very strong love, but I think a love from both sides, where it's like I feel like it needs me, but then also like I'm just like so wanting to like take care of it too.
Yes. When you say,
even though I know it's not mine and I don't want to let it go, like even if there's like a feeling of presence around me where it's like, you know, whoever the mother figure is or whatever, it's like I don't necessarily like want to let go of it.
Yes.
That is the other weird feeling.
And yet you had a sense that you had to let go of it eventually, or was that part of the confusion?
Yeah. You did
have to eventually.
It's been definitely clear that, yeah, I have to let go of it eventually. Like, it's not mine.
So did you get any sense of whose it was, who it belonged to?
You know, in one of the circumstances, I could feel it was almost like a friend of mine. But then the other two, like with the cat, no. And with the other baby, no. But like in one circumstance, it very much felt like a familiar, like female. When you have that feeling where I couldn't pinpoint the person, but like in the dream, like I knew in the dream that it was someone that was like close to me.
Someone close to you and female. And if you could, just thinking back, Shannon, on that essence of that person, you know, you got the feeling that she's female and she's close to you, but did you pick up anything about her personality or her essence?
I can't quite recall anything specific about her personality besides the fact that in any of the circumstances, it didn't feel like the baby was in harm. Like there's never the feeling that, you know, like anyone's in harm or that it's a bad situation for the baby.
Mm.
It's more so just a like connectedness and like love and attachment to it.
Mm.
So it's like, even if I can't quite pinpoint the like third presence, it's like it's not out of a place of like crisis at all. And if the presence there, it's not, you know, it's like they're like a nice presence. They're, you know, like it's familiar and again, kind of like this like loving presence.
Yes.
But between me and the baby, it's just like this really strong, like mutual feeling of like I'm getting like love and nurturance from it, but then also I'm just gripping to it so much and I just don't want to give it back.
So it's a sense of not wanting to give it back rather than not sending it out in the world. It's the sense that you've got to give it back to the parent, is it?
Right.
Yes. So the sort of problem in the dream, apart from not wanting to give it back, is the curiosity about why you end up holding the baby or the cat.
Totally, 100%. And what is it about, like, you know, it's like that feeling of like not wanting to like let go of it, even though I know it's going to be okay, you know, and just like this deep emotion towards having it.
With the baby, baby one and baby two, did you get a sense for the gender of the babies?
It's interesting because the babies in my dreams are definitely, they feel they feel feminine, like females, but with the cat, I can't recall if the cat was male or female.
Describe the cat a little bit more, Shannon.
Yeah, the cat circumstance was really interesting. It's like a gray cat, and it's weird because as I was holding the cat, then it's within this dream, the location's definitely different, and I look up from the cat, and there's other cats that kind of like come from the from like surrounding bushes, and they all run and they jump in a pool in front of me. So it's definitely a little more dynamic of a setting with the cat. I'm only holding the one, and I only feel like I have to like take care of the one, but there's like a herd of them that kind of emerge and then jump into a pool of water.
How did you feel when they jumped into the pool of water? Right, were you worried for them? Or
I was worried, and then at that point I woke up from the dream.
Okay, so was the which came oh, it's going to sound like the chicken or the egg, which came first, the dreams about the babies or the dreams about the cat?
You know, the dream about the cat came first, and then right after it I had like back-to-back consecutive dreams about the babies.
Right, okay.
Maybe within, I think, you know, I had that cat dream maybe 3 months ago, and then the baby dreams were within like the last month.
Right, okay. Sometimes they're, I'm just writing that down, there's timings there. Sometimes when we have an animal in a dream, it can, not always, but it can represent like an animal instinct within ourselves. And it's almost like when we first become aware of a certain instinct, our dreamy mind will often put the shape of an animal on it, because it's something that we can't really kind of name or make more human than that, because it's an aspect of ourselves that we're really just sort of beginning to feel and get in touch with, but can't quite humanize it. So the fact that you've had a cat dream, that, or the first version of this dream 3 months ago was a cat, and then kind of evolved, the recurring dream evolved into being babies instead of cats, suggests to me that that kind of cat energy instinct that you first picked up on the first dream 3 months ago has actually moved a little bit more into consciousness and become more human form, you know, between month three and month one. So there's some kind of evolution happening there. If we look at the cat, and I think you said it was, did you say it was gray?
Yeah, definitely gray, and all of the cats were gray.
What's the personality of a gray cat, Shannon?
Gosh, I don't know. Gray cat. Kind of like a curious.
Yeah. If you went
like
in
curious. Also like loves people.
What makes a grey cat special as opposed to a white cat or a tabby cat or a marmalade cat or any other cat? What makes a grey cat? If you were to go along to a cat shop and go, I want that one, the grey one, would there be any reason why you chose that?
I don't think so. I don't know if there would be a real pull for the grey cat.
Would you actually prefer a different coloured cat in real life?
Good question. You know, I've had, just thinking back on like pets, I've had all color furs of cats, so I'm not quite sure if I would naturally be pulled towards a gray one, which is, also interesting.
How do you feel about the color gray with nothing to do with cats?
Gray, you know, I think it feels like a neutral color to me, even though it's like cool, it's a cool color on the color palette, but like as far as like neutral, like you think of like black or white, like that gray area feels like kind of neutral, like not really taking like a first, like a fierce stand from like one opinion to the other, just kind of like gray. It's like,
yes,
you know,
so it's
just like that neutral zone.
Neutral gray kind of area, matching a little bit the confusion in the dream about, you know, I do have this really strong bond, but where does it come from? Where does it, not sure about this. So I do get the sense, that the cat in the first dream is, as you've described, is a part of yourself, as you've described, being curious, loves people, but it's also a bit of a gray area. So either in terms of I'm recognizing this aspect of myself 3 months ago, curiosity, loving people, but I'm either feeling neutral about that at the moment, or it's kind of like a gray area. I've got a gray area in my life that I would perhaps would like to form a connection with, but I'm not sure about it. I'm remaining curious about this. Let's just see what happens. But as you say, all the cats in that 3 months ago dream, other cats came out of the forest and they all jumped into the pool and it was more dynamic. So there was a sense there of, were the other cats, did they come in because they were attracted to the fact that there was a cat there? Or why do you think the other cats came in?
Yeah, it was weird. Like in the dream, it was this feeling like jump in the water, like come with us kind of a feeling. But the other cats, like a cat from like the, almost like the herd coming out being like, join us. And
yes, but it didn't join them. It wanted to stay with you.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a sense about 3 months ago that you began to get in contact with this energy within yourself, but you might not consciously have realized because the dream showed it as an instinct, so it was all very unconscious stuff, but began to get this kind of feeling that there's a part of me that's curious, that loves people, that I'm beginning to form a stronger and stronger connection with, but I don't know what to do with it. I'm sort of pretty neutral about it. Bit of a grey area about it, and yet there's a pull to do something with this, a pull to bring in more cats, to jump in the water, to be, as you said earlier, it was more dynamic dream. I'm supposed to do something with this, to join something, to put it out there, but at the same time I don't really want to do that yet because I'm really enjoying this sort of nurturing connection. And then move it forward to just in the last month, you've had the similar dream, but this time with babies. So the dream always reflects the day or two beforehand. So that's why, you know, the 3 month ago dream about the cats was what was going on for you then. But then there's been a sudden change or an evolution about a month ago, where you got more into contact with this energy within yourself. Not completely, you're still confused, but a bit more in contact with it because it's moved from cat grey area kind of shape to baby female kind of shape. And those babies, they were also newborn, I think you said, didn't you, Shannon?
Yeah.
Yep. Right. So there's probably a sense in that last month where you've not only got more in contact with this energy, but there's been a sense of birth around it. So it could either be, I'm feeling all this new energy in myself because the cat stuff was unconscious, and now I'm feeling like this new life in me. I've got this baby idea thing that I really want to put out in the world but don't want to let go of just yet because I'm enjoying having it with me, but I've got it here and it feels newborn, so that's kind of the essence of it. Or it may be that you did the thing of, as in the earlier dream, the cats jumping into the pool and wanting the other cat to join them, and there may be sense with the babies as being newborn as I've actually birthed something here, something's beginning to happen. And the fact that it's you perceive the babies as being feminine probably represents more your yin than your yang, you know, more your right brain than your left brain, more perhaps possibly your inner world than your outer world. But it's all about the inner feminine that's just sort of morphed from cat to baby. But you still don't really own it because it's a sense of, even though I've got this cat/baby/other baby, that's not mine. It came from someone else. So there's a sense of I'm connecting with this energy probably within myself, because when I approach dreams, I look at everyone and everything in a dream as representing something about the dreamer. So it's like you're reconnecting with this energy, this cat energy, these baby energies have always been within you, but you've either been in touch with them before and pushed them away, or you haven't yet really connected with them until now. And now you're really connecting, really being there, but you're still at some level going, but of course it's not me. I mean, you know, somebody else must have given birth, because how could something so wonderful have come from me, is the kind of feeling that I get. I'm not the mother, but I just want to hold on to this for a little bit longer. So before we go deeper, because there's a lot more stuff, are you relating to this so far?
Yeah, this is awesome.
Okay.
It feels very relatable.
Okay, that's great. So in this last month, we've got this thing, which is you connecting with something deep within yourself that is actually very nurturing to you. It's not like connecting, oh, there's an area of myself and this is great, I'm going to put it right out into the world now, I'm going to change the way that I am. There's a sense in the way that you describe the dream that just holding on to it a little bit longer within yourself is actually very nurturing for you. And yet there's this vague, well, not vague, very precise feeling that eventually I've got to let it go, but I don't want to let it go. Yeah, I'm attached to this. So we become attached to things when they make us feel really good. We can also become attached to things when we're a little bit scared about letting them out there. And we can also become attached to things, as in babies, when we don't believe that they'll ever be grow old enough and strong enough to survive without us. So there's all those kind of themes going on there. You know, how long do you want to nurture this new connection that you found within yourself? And yet there's a sense of it's doing me good and I want to hang on to that. But at some level, I've got to let it go out into the world, probably in the same way as the initial cat's dream. I've got to bring in all the other babies. I've got to get them all to herd together, was the word, and jump in the pool. I'm stopping there because herd together, often our dreams go for puns and wordplay. So there may be a sense there about herd being listening to, hearing, you know, I'm heard. So there could be a sense there of something that you're connecting with within yourself and wanting to put it out there to be heard, but not wanting to do that just yet. But yes, but no, but yes, but no, but yes, but no. But I love the feeling that it's a really strong love. You know, there's everything, even though you're confused in these recurring dream themes, you don't question the strong love. You question, where did it come from? You question, where is it going to, or when am I going to let it go where it's going to? But the one thing you don't question is the strong love and the sense of connection, which is really good.
100%.
Mm. So you say the locations change in the dream. Can you tell me a bit more about the locations in the baby dreams?
Yeah, the first of the baby dreams, it's less clear where I'm at. It almost just feels like a... just a blank, like, white space. And then the second baby dream feels more so like I'm in a, it's like kind of a garden space, but it's very clearly someone's home. So one space feels a little more, I don't want to say like sterile, but it just doesn't have as much like clarity as to the environment. It just feels a little more like blank. Whereas the second one, it's very clearly like I'm in someone's home and there's almost like plants and a garden, and it's just very distinctly like a home setting.
So whose home do you think it, or did you feel in the dream it might be?
Whoever the presence was, whoever, because that's also the dream where I could feel the like third party presence. Like that one just felt a little more like there was a stronger container around like the whole dream in itself.
So what kind of person, another angle at finding that personality of that friend in the dream that you felt so familiar, what kind of person would have a garden like that?
I mean, it just felt like very motherly. Like together, you know, like again, just to paint the feeling of like it felt like a warm, nurturing space. And the environment felt warm, just very comfortable.
And everything in the Everything in the garden. Yeah, comfortable is good. I like that. Everything in the garden was flowering and growing and healthy?
Yeah, it almost, just like a lot of like a green, fresh air, almost like a lot of wood though too. Just thinking of kind of like the elements in the space, like it felt like very homey in that way.
Mm. So
and
it's,
the baby was like wrapped in a blanket, like it just.
Mm. So the baby was also comfortable as well because she was wrapped in a blanket. Yeah.
Yep.
And nurtured. So there's this progression.
Very much so.
Yeah. There's a progression from what you say there from, you know, the cat dream where you were more remote to the next, you know, it becomes the baby, but as you say, less clarity, white space, to becoming a garden, which is where you're very comfortable. So, you know, there's been an evolution in the dreams to increasing comfort with the situation and, you know, and a sense of motherliness, which is the garden sense, which is the nurturing within yourself. So the reason why the friend feels so close to you is because she is an aspect of yourself. And I'll often notice when I'm listening to people talk about dreams and they say there was a stranger, but they felt so familiar, like really like, you know, I don't know their name, but like really familiar. And the reason they're really familiar is because they're a part of yourself. Like a part of yourself that you're that, you know, just a moment away from recognizing. So, you know, you, Shannon, you were the mother of the cat and the babies. You've got to take a symbolic jump there being the mother of the cat, but the mother of the babies, because you saw the friend and the owner of the garden as being the mother of the babies. So that friend is the part of yourself that you might also describe as feeling comfortable, feeling motherly, feeling, because all the plants in the garden were growing, feeling, you know, that personal and spiritual growth is going well, feeling that things are coming along and developing, just as the way you nurture a garden too. Everything's coming up roses kind of feeling. So there is, and you also said in the third dream in the garden, you felt it was a stronger container as opposed to the white space. So you could apply that to yourself too and say, you know, you had evolved by the time of that third dream to be able to identify that you are a stronger container for this whole development, newborn thing, whether that newborn thing is a different way of being, an idea, a product, a stage of evolution, whatever it is, you're feeling more comfortable with it and you're feeling it's a stronger container, but you still don't want to let it go. You're still very attached to it. Nobody's going to have it yet. So I think, you know, that the where we go from here is to work out exactly, and you probably already know exactly what that baby represents in your life now, so that we can then work out whether it is, you know, time to nurture it more, or whether we work out why it is that you're clinging to it, why you're not ready to let it go, why you're not ready to put your hand up and go, yeah, okay, all right, I'm the mother. and all of those things. So would you like to give us some more information about how you see the baby, what you see the baby as in your life now?
Yeah, sure. As far as just different representations that I'm kind of thinking about as you interpret the dream?
Yes.
Okay. So first and foremost, thank you so much for just mapping that out for me, because it does make so much sense. I've been in the process of really almost like transforming myself as I build. I've been working on building a business for the last probably year and a half, 2 years now, and it's been a really slow go, and I've kept it kind of in the back burner, just like as a side project for a really long time. And just over the last few months, there's been a shift, and it's almost like I have in myself shifted into more of like a public figure and feel much more confident and motivated to begin now presenting the business and presenting myself as kind of, you know, at the forefront of it. And that's just been a really significant shift within like the public space for me within like the last couple months. And so just for you to acknowledge the fact of the growth and the evolution of something new in that way and feeling, you know, that three-part dream kind of like that sequence,
yes,
really does feel parallel to the evolution that I've been going through with this project that has been behind the scenes for a really long time for me, and now feeling like it is birthed, and that I just, you know, I'm probably still holding on from a fear-based perspective of like the final push, because it is scary since it's a representation of like who I am and what I believe in. But at the same point, that like sense of like love and like, you know, just like deep devotion towards it and like the birthing of it, and probably the birthing of, you know, like kind of this new version of myself within the role of, you know, like an entrepreneur with this business.
The mother.
Yep, totally. Yeah, the mother of it. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That's really great. So as you hear yourself talk about it now, and as you think about the dream, where would you say that you are in terms of feeling comfortable about being the mother? I mean, I'm hearing from what you say there that you're not entirely there, but about being the stronger container and the level of comfort, where are you there with not so much just yet, as you say, how far you've put it out there, but in the sense of ownership of, yes, this is the new version of me. I am the mother of this. Where's your comfort?
Gosh, you know, every day feels different, to be honest. I think that consciously recognizing that there still is a level of fear and vulnerability around it helps me to be more, I guess, brave about the fact of like letting it go and really fully embracing myself as the mother within it and saying like, I can, you know,
yes,
hold this container and create this space and let this, you know, like I can take ownership in that way. But every day is different. It's such a level of vulnerability for me. And like, I've come a long way and I just want to continue to push myself towards it because, you know, it is that feeling where it's like something has been birthed and I need to step into and really give myself credit in a weird way for being capable of continuing to raise it, I guess you'd say.
Yes.
If I think about the significance of feeling the motherly presence there, but not wanting to like, but also holding on to the baby as if it is mine because I like love it so much, but not wanting to have it or let it go fully. And
yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? You know, there's nothing more vulnerable than a tiny newborn baby, because you know you actually can't,
right.
You can't say to the newborn baby, right, off you go then. You know, like it or
yeah,
not, it's vulnerable. So it's a lovely dream symbol there. You know, and I love the way you've described that, really, with that the sense of, you know, you're ready to give yourself full credit. And it's balanced with that capability of taking on the mother role. And the mother role includes not only growing up the baby to the child, to the adult, and putting it out there, you know, from day one, making it feel comfortable with different surroundings and so on, that mother role, and then the point at which to let go the hand and let it go into the world by itself. So that there's almost with the newborn baby, or that vulnerability within yourself, even from day one, there's a sense of preparing. If we think of a human baby, there's a sense of preparing the baby to go out in the world, because, you know, you start in the first few days by acclimatizing the baby to your physical home and to maybe different people holding it and getting used to sounds and things. So even though the mother would never let go of looking after a tiny newborn baby, there's a sense of already introducing it to the world and getting it ready. Even though it's extremely vulnerable, you know, every day with a newborn baby and growing it through childhood is taking it through its own vulnerabilities and fears. And then as we grow older, as we, as babies, go through childhood, we're vulnerable. And as we grow older, somehow, someday we reach this thing where we're not going to be vulnerable anymore. No, no, we're done. We're strong. So there's a lovely sense of, you know, as you've described there, of going back and accepting your own level of fear and vulnerability, because it helps you to be more brave with stepping out there. So if we look at it that way, we could say that not only are the newborn babies representing your newborn business, even though it's been on the back burner for a couple of years, you feel it's born now. Not only do the babies represent that, but they also represent your nascent transformation, you know, your new way of being in the world and your new vulnerability. So that, in acknowledging that part of yourself, no matter how many businesses you might have had before, is a brand new mum and a brand new baby and a brand new vulnerability in this incarnation of business. So, you know, acknowledging that, yeah, not just the business, but you are the baby and have vulnerability around it, I think is a lovely positive way to go. Because show me a business that's successful because the person waited and waited and waited until everything was absolutely perfect and fully grown and everything was known.
Yeah.
You know, businesses grow because we let them out there while we're uncertain and we take risks, and in that way they grow to be unique and different. You know, the other way around is waiting until everything is so right and tied up that, you know, that it looks like everybody else's business, and that's the only point at which we're happy to put it out there. What do you think?
Right. I know. Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking as we were talking that this business in particular, it is actually in the field of wellness and taking care of people within a workplace setting. And so that could be another element too, of just thinking of myself as, you know, kind of like, again, having to embrace myself as the mother figure and, not as like a temporary kind of just like holding it for the moment, but owning the space and getting past that blockage of me just holding the baby as a friend model, but instead like, no, I am the mother of the baby, and like holding the space from like that nurturing yes. perspective.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. You know, as you say, particularly within the wellness industry, and putting yourself out there as the, because every time you step into the industry and do whatever it is that you do, you've got to own it. Otherwise, why would they listen to you? Why would they respond? And also, as you say, you're because it's wellness, you're actually offering people nurturing. First, you provide the nurturing, and then I imagine you help them to find a way to nurture themselves into wellness. Is that right?
Yep, 100%.
So that's a sort of another level of the not wanting to let go, but also knowing that you may have to let go in the end. Is that sense of every time you appear in that wellness setting, you're appearing as the mother figure, not only of the business and the idea, but of mothering, helping to mother people to into their own state of wellness.
Totally.
So there's a holding on and a letting go, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, that's wild.
So what we often do in a situation like this is move to dream alchemy. So, you know, what dream alchemy is, for people listening in that haven't heard this before, is dream alchemy is when you look at a dream and you say, okay, I understand how it relates to my life. And I can see that there's something in my dream that is a bit of a block or a bit of a limit, or in your case, a bit of a confusion. And I'd like to become clearer on that, or I'd like to remove the block. And the way that we do that is we play around with the symbols or the drama of your dream, because the dream comes from you, the symbols come from you. You know, there's no dream dictionary approach. We're all individual, unique people. If we looked up cat in a dream dictionary, it would say something or other, which would be totally wrong for most people's dreams. You know, we have to work out what the cat represents for you, et cetera, et cetera. So we then play around with cats or babies or whatever it is, whatever your dream symbols are, to change the nature of the dream. And what that does is reprogram our unconscious mind or rewire our brain, and helps us move through those blocks or move into a greater sense of greater clarity. So, you know, I guess looking at your dream, there's There's several points. I'll let you pick one. I mean, one is that you've got confusion. One is that you don't want to let it go. And one is that you didn't know who the mother was. It wasn't yours. But I think you've now kind of sorted that one out. So yeah. Knowing what the dream, how the dream relates to your life, which one of those things do you think is most important to sort out? Is it getting more clarity? Is it being less clingy? Is it letting go? Is it holding on for longer? Is it nurturing for more? Which is the kind of main theme that you think would be, if we pulled that plug, everything would move along a bit faster for you?
Yeah. You know, I probably think it would be like letting go of the old identity and allowing myself to step into that role of being able to fully mother and like let this business like, you know, go out into the world and not have that sense of like clinging onto it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's really lovely. So what I would suggest you do for that, I mean, you've already got deeper awareness now from having talked about the dream, more self-awareness on about these issues, and that will help a lot. But I'm going to suggest two things for dream alchemy. One is, as you say, you don't want to cling on, you want to let go. So one thing we'll do, and I'm just running past the idea past you at the moment, to see how it would feel, would be to re-visualize the dream with probably the second dream in the garden, but this time to actually hold the baby and feel the emotional bond, but not feel so clingy about it. And in fact, to maybe lay it down on the garden, you know, in a lovely, on a grass area or something. And actually, as you watch the baby, see it grow from newborn to a little child that runs around a bit. So what you're playing around with there and telling your unconscious mind is, if I don't cling on too much, if I let go, and I'm still there, I'm still the mother, but if I let go in this lovely, comfortable, stronger container garden space, what the outcome of not being clingy, the outcome of letting go, is this baby grows and plays. How does that sound?
Yep. So that sounds so good.
Okay, well, I might run you through that in a minute on a visualization. And the flip side of that, I'd also like you to do, you know, when we finish the podcast in your own private time, is you said the idea of letting go of the old identity and fully being the mother. And I think the nice way to do that would be, I'm just having a think about this. We could go really conventional on this and get the two bits of paper. I'm sure you've probably done this kind of thing before, Shannon. And on one piece of paper, you write out your old identity, which is I've got all these businesses, ideas, but I'm not the mother. Whatever the old identity is, you write it down. And on the other piece of paper, you write down the new ID, just as you've described there. You want to let go of the old identity. You want to be the full mother of this whole thing. So on the second piece of paper, to write out, using whatever words work for you, what you see as the new identity that you are wanting to step into with more and more clarity and a sense of ownership. And then do the old, when I say conventional, do the old thing of burning ceremoniously or ritualistically, burning the old ID and then reading out the new ID to yourself in a mirror so you actually watch yourself take it on.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
So can I take you through the visualization right now? It'll take about 30 seconds. Are you happy to do this?
Yes, please.
Okay, so what I'm going to do before you do it is I'm going to get you to close your eyes and like breathe for 3 breaths, and then I'm going to talk you through the visualization, then I'm going to get you to take a deep breath, and that's all we're going to do, and it's really simple, okay? So if you just take close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths. And now you see yourself like the third dream in the garden, the beautiful, beautiful garden, the strong container, the sense of the motherly presence around. It's an absolutely beautiful place. It's so warm and comfortable. And there's the baby all wrapped up in a blanket too. But you take a deep breath and you gently unwrap the baby from the blanket and you place her on a beautiful square of grass. And as you do so, something quite magical happens. She very quickly grows into a child of about 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, right in front of your eyes, and she's playing so joyfully, so happily, so freely. She knows you're there, but she's really enjoying playing in this garden. And take a deep breath and open your eyes. How do you feel at the moment?
Oh, that feels so good.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
it's very exciting and invigorating of a feeling.
Yes, and very clear. So what I'd like you to do for a dream alchemy visualization is that's just once, and you notice how quick it was, how fast it was to do, is I'd like you to do that about 20 times a day for a couple of weeks. Now, it doesn't have to be 20 days all in one sitting, but you can do, say, 5 times in a row, 4 times a day if you like. Try not to let it morph. You know, a lot of people, when they advocate using visualization, say, it's okay if it changes. You know, it's really interesting to watch how it changes. Don't let it change. Do it really fast, and let it just play exactly the same way each time. Because what we're doing is a repetitive reprogramming of the part of yourself that would prefer to cling on to the baby. And we're reprogramming it to all the positives of not clinging on, but being around as the mother and letting it grow and happily and play. So is there anything else that you'd like to ask about your dream or say before we wrap this one?
No, except for thank you. I feel like that was a very, it was a really beautiful analysis. And from our beginning of the call till now, I just have a lot more clarity around it. And also the application of it and within my own life feels very strong. So thank you.
It's a pleasure. So we've taken you from a gray area to clarity.
Yeah. Full circle. Thank you.
Thank you for being a wonderful guest today, Shannon.
Thank you for having me.
So that was really lovely, wasn't it? Having Shannon bring on a dream there, which in many ways turned out to be about how to move forward for her in a new year and a new decade. And I'm sure we've all taken plenty of really good inspiration and energy from that as well. Now, the most astute of you will remember that at the beginning in the introduction, I said something like, if you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, I'll tell you how to do that later. And it only occurred to me after recording the intro that I didn't do that. So anyway, you're still listening. If you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, this is what you do. You go to janetheresa.com, you go to the menu, you go to the Dream Show, and in the drop-down box underneath that, you'll find Be a Guest on the Dream Show. It is something you volunteer to do. Obviously, we probably go into dreams with a little bit less depth than you would do if you consulted me privately, because we're very aware that everyone is listening. But that is also the reason why you come on anonymously. So if you're interested in doing that, put your hand up, fill in the form. It comes directly to me. Nobody else sees it. Apart from that, if you want to listen to every other episode of The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson, go in and enjoy it. We have found that if you're looking to subscribe to The Dream Show on Apple or Spotify or Stitcher or whatever, if you just search for The Dream Show, there are other podcasts called The Dream Show, which have nothing to do with dreams, but they just have a similar title. You know, we've been going for 10 years, but if you put in The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson, it will come up straight away. Otherwise, if you'd like to do my courses, go to dream-academy-online.com. If you'd like to consult me about your dreams, go to janetheresa.com. You'll find how to consult me there. And if you want to read all the hundreds of free blogs, they're also at janetheresa.com. Or you might like to buy my most recent book, which is The Dream Handbook, which you can find information about at the site too. So, once again, Happy New Year. Thank you for listening. The next episode of The Dream Show, if you're listening to this in real time, is episode 226, which is due out on the 30th of January 2020. Have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.